Gracious God, this morning may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So begins our story. You see, water has always been a part of our story. Our very bodies are made up a large percentage of water. Somewhere between 50 and 75 or so percent is water, depending on our age. The younger you are, the more water you have in your body. Yeah. And then here's the other interesting fact that I found out. You probably already knew it, but did you know that the amount of water that is currently present on and in and around and above the earth today is roughly the same water that's been around for millions and millions of years? The water cycle. You learn it in elementary science, right? A combination from evaporation from the oceans and from other bodies of water, and then condensation and then precipitation, and on it goes in this cycle. And that's just so interesting that water's always been a part of things. You think about that and you think the waters that were present at creation, and then the next big water story, right? That's the flood, the time when in judgment God flooded the earth, and all living creatures died except the ones that were saved on the ark, right? Those waters. And then the waters of condensation that were in the sky, and the sun shone through and had that first rainbow, the sign of God's covenant. And then you keep going thousands of years forward to the very water that was in the Jordan when Jesus entered into the Jordan to be baptized by John. All of this water is still around and could have been the same water. And even the very water that we come to when we are baptized, you know what? Could be some of the same water molecules present at the flood of destruction, in the condensation of the rainbow, in the Jordan when Jesus was baptized by John. The ancient Israelites, when they would see lightning in the sky, they considered those like arrows flying down from God. And so I want you to imagine what this first rainbow, this sign of the covenant, must have meant to them. Right? The bow, this weapon of destruction that could throw down the arrows of lightning, became instead a sign, empty, so no arrows, but a sign of God's forever covenant, never again to destroy the whole earth in judgment with a flood. Because you see, God can do whatever God chooses to do. God is sovereign, right? He's the creator. We are but the creatures. So it's well within his right to do with his creation as he sees fit. And we know at the flood, it's like he pushed the reset button. We read before that time that the hearts of men and women at the time were only set on evil and on violence. And he dealt with that. People were destroying each other. They were destroying the earth. So far from what was intended at the beginning of creation. But when we think about God's covenant found in the rainbow, this is his first covenant with people and with creatures. He says it's with all creation. And in this one, it's only a one-sided covenant. Now, as we read through the Old Testament, there'll be many times that God will make covenants that says, you do this, I'm going to do this. But in this instance, the covenant of the rainbow, it only affects God's behavior. to choose relationship and mercy over vengeance. It didn't change people's propensity to violence or to sin, but it did. God chose to stay his hand of judgment through a flood. It's as if in the sign of the rainbow and in this decision to never again destroy the earth through flood, God is kind of all in with humanity. And when we read the Bible, we see over and over again God choosing relationship over forced obedience, mercy over retaliation. We are created as free agents. We are able to respond to God's call to relationship or not. We are able to join with God in taking care of all the creation of earth or not. We are able to live lives where we love God and we love others or not. You see, the reality is our hearts haven't changed a bit since the time of the flood. Still, we naturally look at what is in it for me. Still, our propensity is to trample the rights of others so that I can have my way. Still, it seems that hearts and allegiances and reputations are for sale. Still, there is violence in our hearts and our actions that are rampant. We cause suffering in other people and in God's creation, and we close our eyes to it. But there is another way. At Jesus' baptism, when he walked into the Jordan and was baptized by John, we're told that the heavens were torn apart and that the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and Jesus heard the voice of God telling him, "You are my son, the one that I love. With you I am well pleased." This verb that's for the heavens that were just torn open, it's only used one other time in Scripture. And it's used when the curtain that separates the holiest of holies was torn from top to bottom at the time of Jesus' death. This sign of God's powerful action. As Jesus saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and heard the voice of God saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased," Jesus received and understood his identity in his baptism. No doubt it helped him through the 40 days of wilderness, because the very next verse says the Spirit then drove him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. Now in Mark's gospel, that's just it. It just goes so fast. In Matthew's gospel, we're given a little bit more information about those temptations. And in every one of them in Matthew's gospel, they begin with these words, "If you are the Son of God." Questioning Jesus' very identity that he just received affirmation of so strongly in his baptism. We too receive our true identity in our baptism. We too can hear God say, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." In baptism, we are bound up in our life with Jesus, in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. We are made new creations. The waters of baptism mark for us a new beginning. And so, I thought, what better time than the season of Lent, as we begin this season, to once again affirm the vows that we made at our baptism that were made on our behalf. Or maybe you're making them for the very first time today. This is a call and response, just saying. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Remember your baptism and be thankful. It's interesting that two of those baptismal vows have to do with renouncing and resisting evil, injustice, and oppression, the spiritual forces of wickedness. Certainly, we see those forces at work in our world today, those forces that are working against God's purposes. We saw them this week in the deaths of those students and faculty in Parkland, Florida. We've seen them in other demonstrations of hatred and of violence. And we're called to renounce and resist. I invite you to hear what a Lutheran pastor, sort of a renegade pastor, I have to say, Nadia Bolz-Weber, she's the founding pastor of the House for All Sinners and Saints. Is that a good name for a church or what? It's in Colorado. She's also the author of the book Accidental Saints. And she says this about those forces and our baptism. She says, I think that those same forces can also seek to defy God's purposes in our own individual lives and in our Christian communities. And the first move of the devil is always the same. Attack your identity as the beloved with whom God is well pleased. And the precision by which the devil or evil or darkness worms its way into our lives is so breathtaking. Like a radioactive isotope, custom made for each one of us, calling into question our identity as children of God. Bolz-Weber says that the longer that I try to participate in God's redeeming work in the world, the more I am convinced that there are indeed forces that seek to defy God. And nowhere are we more prone to encroaching darkness than when we are stepping into the light. If you've ever experienced sudden discouragement right in the midst of healthy decisions, or if there's a particular toxic thought that will always send you spiraling down, or if there is a particular temptation that is your weakness, then here's the suggestion that Bolz-Weber makes. She says, take a note from Martin Luther's playbook and defiantly shout at the darkness, I am baptized. Not I was, but I am. When Luther himself was holed up in a castle, translating the Greek Bible into German so that for the very first time, somewhat regular folks could read the Word of God for themselves. While he was doing this, he struggled mightily with doubt and discouragement from what he understood to be the devil. And Luther was known to not only occasionally toss ink pots at whatever was tormenting him and causing him to doubt God's promises, but while doing so, he could be heard throughout the castle shouting, I am baptized. And so I invite you this week And as a Lenten discipline, when you're taking a shower and when the water is just covering you, to take some water on your hand and touch your forehead and claim, I am baptized. And this week, when discouragement or toxic thoughts or temptation intrude on your day, shout back into the darkness, I am baptized. Remember your identity as a child of God. As we walk through this season of Lent, this road that will lead us to the cross and beyond, we can walk resolutely, no matter the darkness that swirls around us, remembering that in Christ we are made new, that through the water of baptism, that water that touched us, maybe the same water molecules that were in the flood of destruction, or in the covenant of the rainbow, or maybe in the Jordan when Jesus himself was baptized. That water that God used to wash away our sin and remind us that we have died to self and are raised with Christ. But it gives us a new beginning, our new identity, our new name, Christian, so that we are freed from the powers of sin and darkness, and freed to love God and to love others, and free to hear God speak over us even as he spoke over Jesus. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. And so it is that I pray over you the same prayer that we pray over everybody that presents themselves to be baptized. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Amen.